We'll have our scripture next here. It comes from Mark chapter 10, verse 46 to 52. It's where Jesus heals blind Bartimaeus. And they came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Rabbi, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. You may be seated.
All right, now I'll invite you to please bow your heads with me as we prepare our hearts to reflect on that passage here. Well, Father, again this morning, we thank you and praise you for this time that we're able to gather together. We thank you, Lord, for the blessing of the fellowship of the saints, where we are able to encourage one another in the faith that we hold dear. And we pray that you would also be with us as we gather now around your word. We pray that you would speak to us through this. And Lord, more than just showing us what happened in the life of Jesus so long ago, we pray that you would also reveal to us what this says to us in the situation where we find ourselves even now. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as all of you know, and I don't think it is a surprise to anybody when I say this, but life, it tends to be nothing more than an endless stream of problems and difficulties, doesn't it? No day is perfect. And of course, we always have some days that are better than others. We rarely, if ever, get through a day without some type of problem that is hitting us. And as we face the difficulties of this life, we have a tendency in how we respond to them, and that tendency is to grumble. That tendency is to complain. We have a tendency to whine and to gripe. And the reason for this is clear. We complain because we don't like the circumstances in which we find ourselves. We complain because they make us uncomfortable, and of course, being uncomfortable makes us want to complain. And we complain because we both want and because we expect something better. And not only do we complain in times like this, not only do we complain about the circumstances in which we find ourselves at that moment in time, we also begin to complain about God, and we blame him for these circumstances where we find ourselves. We ask ourselves why God would allow such a thing to happen in our life. We ask why God doesn't seem to hear our prayers as we bring to him our needs and our problems. We ask why he doesn't intervene in our circumstances and change them for the better, to make them what we want them to be. We go on to tell ourselves that we deserve better. We tell ourselves that we are being treated unfairly. And we tell ourselves that we have done nothing to deserve the life that we have been given. Sometimes we get to the point where we begin to say that, you know, God, he cannot truly be the good God that Scripture reveals him to be. We get to the point where we say that God cannot be the loving God that Scripture reveals him to be. And we may get to ourselves where we say that God certainly cannot be the all-powerful God that Scripture reveals him to be. And he cannot, because if these things were true of him, he would certainly help us. A good God would certainly help us, right? A loving God would certainly enter into our circumstances and change them for the better. And an all-powerful God he would be able to do whatever was necessary to change the circumstances in which we found ourselves. We fail to realize we fail to recognize in that moment that the source of our problems is not God. We fail to realize that the source of our problems is us. We fail to realize that the source of our problems is our sin. And we're not going to dwell here, but when we look back to the fall of Adam and Eve in the third chapter of Genesis, we see just that. We see that because of their sin, the sentence of death was issued to them. And we also see that until that point, until the time of their death, their lives would be marked by suffering. And the same thing you see is also true of us. Having been born in sin, having committed acts of sin, we are deserving not of God's blessing, but of his wrath. We are deserving of both suffering and death. And yes, sometimes our problems are the result of a specific sin, and we are able to point to it. We are able to identify it. You know, maybe, for example, you lost your driver's license because you were driving under the influence. And of course, not having your license certainly makes your life more difficult. Maybe because of a drug addiction, we've managed to lose not only our job, but we've managed to lose our family relationships, which, again, makes our life hard. Or maybe we have found ourselves pregnant or with a disease due to promiscuity. We could point to many such examples. But other times, however, our problems may not result from a specific sin that we have committed. They just result from sin in general. They result from the fact that we are a sinful people who are living in a sinful world surrounded by a sinful people on a regular basis. Now, we might argue that God can overlook our sin. We may argue that God does not have to issue this punishment, but he does. And he does because not only is God good, not only is he loving, not only is he all-powerful, Scripture also reveals to us that God is holy and that he is just and that he is righteous. And for this reason, God has to issue to us the punishment that we deserve. To do anything less would mean violating his own nature. It would mean violating his own character. So again, the fault for our suffering is our own in this big scope that I'm talking about. It is what we deserve. More specifically, it's what we deserve because of our sin. Now, when we look to the Old Testament, we see that the people of Israel, they tended to respond to hardship in the very same way that you and I do. Even though he had miraculously delivered them from slavery in Egypt, we see how every time they found themselves in difficult circumstances, the people of Israel would complain. We see how they would grumble against the Lord, and we see how they would blame him. When the army of Egypt, for example, came against them, what did they do? They complained, right? When they needed water, what did they do? They complained. When they needed food, what did they do? They complained. And when they got sick of the food that God was already miraculously providing for them, what did they do, right? They complained. They asked many times over if God had brought them out of Egypt, if he had brought them into the wilderness to put them to death. They asked if God had brought them out of slavery, that he might simply allow them to die in the desert. And it didn't seem to compute with them that if God desired their death, if he desired their judgment, he never would have saved them in the first place. Now, when we read about the people of Israel in Scripture, and when we see this tendency in them, we tend to look down our noses at them, don't we? We tend to be critical of them. We tend to ask how they could even think such a thing. But as we look at ourselves, we find that our hypocrisy is astounding because, again, we see it in them, but we don't see it in ourselves. We fail to recognize that we are truly no different, and we fail to recognize how irrational this is, not only for them, but for us. After all, if God desired our harm, we wouldn't be here right now. If God desired our judgment, he would have struck us down long ago. He would have simply cast us into hell from the beginning. More importantly, if God desired our harm rather than our judgment, he never would have acted to save us. If he desired our harm, he never would have sent Jesus into the world. And if God desired anything less than our blessing, Jesus certainly would not have given his life for us upon the cross. So the question that we are faced with is this: what are we to do in the face of this suffering? What are we to do in the face of the hardship that we experience from day to day? And I think we find a very good answer to this as we look at our scripture lesson for this morning. Now, as we heard in Mark 10, Jesus and his disciples were leaving Jericho. And as they were doing so, there was a blind beggar sitting by the roadside, and his name we discover is Bartimaeus. And hearing that Jesus was passing by, this Bartimaeus started to cry out, and he cried out saying, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And when we consider them, we find that these words are very, very significant. He first of all referred to Jesus as the Son of David. And in doing so, he was confessing Jesus to be the Christ. He was confessing Jesus to be the Messiah who had been prophesied throughout Scripture. And I say this because, again, as we look back to the Old Testament prophecies, it was foretold that the Savior would come from the line of David. It was foretold that he would be descended from the line of David. And so by referring to Jesus in this way, by referring to him as the Son of David, Bartimaeus was saying that Jesus is the fulfillment of this promise that God had given to their people. Second, he asked Jesus to have mercy on him. And in this way, yes, he is asking Jesus for help. He was pleading with Jesus for salvation from the circumstances in which he found himself. Now, as we get to know them, we find that people with disabilities can live pretty normal lives, can't they? Even with their limitations, people with disabilities are able to do many of the things that the rest of us are able to do. Yet that being said, none of us would want to live with those limitations. And when we consider Bartimaeus, when we consider his circumstances, I think it's fair to say that none of us would want to live with blindness, would we? Now, in my first church, one of our members volunteered with the Blind Center in San Diego, and he told me that even in a big city like that, none of the churches, and when I say none, I literally mean none of the churches, ministered specifically to the blind. None of them did anything that would meet the specific needs of the blind in the community. And for this reason, we started a blind ministry at our church. We began providing resources that made it easier for them to come and worship with us. We did things like we had our bulletin made up in Braille every single week. It sounds simple. Nobody was doing it. But as we started to do these things, we found that many who were active at the Blind Center began to worship with us, and they began to join our church. And it was kind of fun because we'd have all these seeing eye dogs sitting out in the aisles every Sunday along with the people. But as I got to know them, I was struck by how well these people had adapted to life with their disability. I remember specifically when one of them asked me for a ride home after church one Sunday. He lived in downtown San Diego, and I had no idea how to get to his apartment, but he assured me that he would direct me. And again, this was in the days before smartphones. This was in the days before Google Maps. Yet as I drove him home, he was able to tell me where to go. He was able to tell me where to turn, just like any one of you would have been able to. You know, turn right up here. You know, turn left now. And he knew the feel of the city well enough that he was able to direct me in spite of the fact that he could not see. And we arrived at his apartment building without having made even one wrong turn. Blew my mind. However, that being said, it's clear that even though they can do a lot, right, living with blindness causes great difficulties for those who live with it. And this was even more true for people back in Jesus' day than it is for people with that disability today. A blind person in ancient times would be completely dependent upon others, right? They would be unable to work. They would be unable to provide for themselves and for their family. And this is why a man like Bartimaeus was doing what he was doing in our lesson for today. This is why he was sitting alongside of the road begging, depending upon the mercy of others that his needs might be taken care of. Now, again, I think that any one of us, if we found ourselves in these circumstances, we would want to live a normal life. We would much rather have our sight and have the ability to work. We would much rather provide for ourselves rather than having to depend constantly upon the generosity of others. And it seems that this was also the desire of Bartimaeus as he cried out to Jesus. Knowing that Jesus was passing by, he did not want to miss out on that opportunity. Having heard of Jesus' ability to heal, having heard of Jesus' ability to perform miracles, he cried out, wanting, desiring that opportunity to express his need directly to the Lord. We learn also from his words that he did not believe himself to be deserving of this blessing. He didn't feel entitled to this blessing from Jesus, and he didn't believe that he was being treated unfairly by God. He instead cried out for mercy. He cried out that the Lord would have pity on him. He was looking, you see, for the undeserved mercy of God for this blessing that he desired. Now, as he was yelling out, many people in the crowd rebuked him. They told him to be quiet. But again, Bartimaeus knew the opportunity that was before him, and so he would not be silenced, and he cried out all the more. Now, hearing Bartimaeus, Jesus stopped, and he asked that he be brought to him. And learning that he had been summoned, Bartimaeus threw off his cloak, sprang up, and he came to Jesus, and Jesus asked what he would have him to do. And Bartimaeus asked that he would be allowed to recover his sight. And Jesus answered him very simply, saying, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." And immediately we're told Bartimaeus recovered his sight, and he followed Jesus along the way. Now, one of the interesting things to note here is that last phrase that Jesus spoke. And it's often in your Bibles translated exactly the way that I read it, that the man's faith had made him well. If you go to a couple of older translations, it sometimes says that his faith had made him whole, which implies something a little bit more than just a physical healing. The meaning, however, is far greater. Because the word that is used not only means that the man was healed, it means not only that he was made well, it quite literally means that this man had been saved. And this tells us that not only had Bartimaeus been healed of his blindness, not only had he recovered his sight as he had requested of Jesus, but by his faith he had also been saved. He had been saved from his sin as well as from the consequences of his sin. And blindness, it was just one of those. It was one such consequence of sin. And again, as I mentioned earlier, when I say this, I'm not suggesting that Bartimaeus had done something specific wrong that had led to this condition in his life. I'm suggesting that, like all pain and suffering in life, it was the result of sin in general. And as you heard last week, I'm also not suggesting that because this man was saved by Jesus, his life was free of suffering from this point on. Bartimaeus was still a sinner, and as a sinner, he still dealt with the consequences of sin like any one of us. And what I mean is that he still continued to experience the pain and suffering of this life going forward, even after he had regained his sight. And although we don't hear any more about him specifically in time, it's very clear to us he had to face death, just like any one of us as well. But at this point, he had received the forgiveness of his sins through faith in Jesus. He had received the gift of eternal life through faith in Jesus. And the fact that he was healed of his blindness resulted from that. What then can we learn from Bartimaeus when it comes to our circumstances today? What can we learn from him in the face of our trials and hardships, no matter what they look like in our own personal life? And the main thing I believe, and it may sound very, very simple, but we're going to talk about this a bit, is that we must cry out to Jesus, right? I realize, again, it may seem obvious, it may seem simple, and most of us would probably say that we do this, right? When we have a need, when we have a problem, when we are faced with a trial, we do bring our needs to the Lord in prayer. But this isn't true for all of us, and it's not true in every circumstance. There are many in our world today, and maybe even in this church today, who don't bring their needs to the Lord. Not trusting in Him, not believing in Him, they simply try to deal with their problems on their own, by their own strength, with their own wisdom. Others among us, we may initially bring our needs to the Lord, but when He doesn't seem to hear us, when He doesn't seem to answer right away, we give up. And then we start to lean upon ourselves. But again, knowing that Jesus was present, Bartimaeus took advantage of that opportunity. Again, he didn't want to miss out, knowing that Jesus was right there in his midst. And for this reason, he made his voice heard. In the same way, knowing that Jesus is present among us, we must make our voices heard. We must not pass up on this opportunity that we have in the world right now to bring our needs to the Lord. We must express to Him our needs that He might help. We must come to Him in prayer, pleading with Him for mercy. We must also do so regardless of the reaction of others around us, right? Remember, Bartimaeus, he was told to be quiet, yet he continued to cry out all the more. And in the same way, we must continue to cry out, even when the world tells us that it's pointless. We must cry out to Jesus, even when we're told to be quiet, not wanting Him to pass us by, not wanting to miss out on this blessing that He has to offer. We must cry out to Him again and again. We must also look to Jesus in faith. We must look to Him, just like Bartimaeus, believing in Him for who He is. We heard that Bartimaeus looked to Jesus, believing Him to be the Son of David, believing Him to be the Christ, the Savior of the world. And so too must we. And we must do so because according to Scripture, the blessings of God are received through faith in Jesus. They are received in no other way. It's by trusting in Him, it's by believing in Him that we are enabled to receive His blessings. We must look to Him knowing that we are undeserving of any blessing that He might give. We must look to Him understanding, as we heard earlier, that because of our sin, we deserve nothing good from the hands of God. We must look to Him understanding that the only thing we deserve is death and hell. Any blessing we might receive results only from God's mercy. It results only from His pity. It results only from the compassion that He has for each one of us. And this is important because we often plead with God based upon our goodness. We approach Him feeling like we are deserving of the blessings for which we ask. But again, we deserve nothing good from the hand of God, and the only thing upon which we can depend is God's goodness and His mercy. It's just like Bartimaeus begging beside the road. He did so because he was unable to work. He was unable to earn a wage. So the only thing he could do is depend upon the mercy of others. The only thing he could do was depend upon the unmerited favor of those who were passing by. And in the very same way, you and I are helpless. In the very same way, we can look only to the mercy of God. We can look to Him alone, knowing and believing that He is able to help us in our time of need. Amen. Let's pray together. Well, Father, again, we thank You for this reflection. And although it may seem simple, although it may seem like something that we already do, Lord, we realize that, Lord, it's an area of life where each one of us struggle. It's an area where we struggle because so often we fail to depend upon You. We depend upon ourselves, or we depend upon others to help us with our need. We struggle, Lord, because we believe ourselves to be good enough to deserve these blessings. And we pray, Lord, that You would help each one of us to recognize the situation in which we live. Help us to recognize, Lord, that we are helpless. Help us to realize that we are undeserving. And help us, Lord, to realize who you are, the good, gracious, and loving God who desires our blessing, who has done everything necessary to provide for us your blessing. And in this way, Lord, enable us to cry out to you, to throw ourselves continually upon your mercy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And please rise with me at this time, and we'll join together in praying the prayer that Jesus has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let's sing our benediction. As you go on your way, may God go with you. May he go before you to show you the way. May he go behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over, within you to give you peace. In the name of the Father, Son, and Spirit. In the name of the Father, Son, and Spirit. In the name of the Father, Son, and Spirit.